This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Rarely has a bullet caused the death of so many. 100 years ago tomorrow, a Serbian nationalist fired a bullet that struck and killed Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. The assassination sparked World War I, which ultimately involved 100 countries and cost the lives of millions of soldiers and civilians worldwide. When armies in Europe started shooting at each other a month after the Archduke was assassinated, the war was far from America. The U.S. didn't enter the war until 3 years later. But the outbreak of the war in the summer of 1914 had a big impact in Baltimore. We wanted to get a sense of how it shaped the large German community here, so we turned to John Furchbeck. He's an amateur historian and author of several books, including German Catholic Parishes of Maryland and Pennsylvania. He's with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila.
About how many Germans were in Baltimore at the onset of World War I?
About 20% of the population. There were waves of Germans that came prior to the Civil War, but the largest percentage came after the Civil War, around 1870. And that was with the onset of the North German lines, who had a partnership with the B&O Railroad.
The North German lines was a shipping company.
Yes.
They shipped cargo or passengers?
Well, it was
also
all passengers. It was the first steamship company to come into Baltimore with immigrants, primarily in partnership with the B&O Railroad. And the partnership with the B&O was people in Europe could buy a single ticket in many cities throughout Europe, not just Germany, sail in from Bremerhaven into Baltimore, and then jump right on a train going west. So many of the population, German immigrants, went on to Ohio and throughout the Midwest. Obviously, quite a few stayed here in Baltimore.
Why did so many Germans come?
Economic, primarily. There was greater opportunities. There was political upheaval throughout Europe from the 1800s on. The unification of Germany under Bismarck inspired a lot of Bavarians or Southern Germans to come into to immigrate. And many of them wound up settling in Baltimore versus New York or other ports throughout the eastern coast.
So how did the German community rank in size compared to some of the other ethnic groups in Baltimore?
It was the largest. By the end of the 1800s, it was the largest. The Irish were second, but the German population just increased exponentially after the Civil War.
And what was the German culture like in Baltimore?
Well, it became a little Germany. We had literally over 100 German clubs or Vereine, ranging from bowling clubs to shooting clubs to singing clubs. Singing clubs were especially very, very proliferate. A lot of the clubs were associated with the churches. Many were associated with the locality where the immigrants came from.
On 88.1 WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with John Furchbeck. He's an amateur historian whose latest book is German Catholic Parishes of Maryland and Pennsylvania. We're talking about the German community in Baltimore when World War I broke out. I can imagine many Germans in Baltimore feeling ambivalent about the U.S. entering World War I against Germany. What's your sense of where most of them stood?
I think that's especially true. At the very beginning, the German sentiment, according to newspaper accounts of the time, many in the Baltimore Sun, and then there were actually six German newspapers at the time.
German language newspapers.
Baltimore. Yeah, at least six at that time. And they were pro-German. They wanted the U.S. to stay out of the war. But once the U.S. got into the war, the sentiments changed for their adopted country. And we find that the German community supported the American cause throughout the rest of the war.
So you said Germans, once the U.S. was involved in the war, Germans as a group were quite involved on the U.S. side. What was there a lot of anti-German sentiment?
Absolutely. Redwood Street, what is now Redwood Street, was originally German Street. At the time, the anti-German sentiment was so great, there was a riot to change the name of the street from German Street to Redwood. Many of the German organizations and then some of the churches stopped using the German language and reverted to English only as part of their symbol of patriotism.
So had the German language been pretty widely used in public events? And
very, very much so. The minutes of the city laws were published in German by law. Bids for public projects were required by law to be published in at least one of the German newspapers. There were 8 German-English public schools, in addition to those schools that were sponsored or operated by the various religious communities.
8 public schools?
8 public schools.
In the German language?
Yes.
Sort of like charter schools now?
Yes.
So today, what are the vestiges that we see of a big German community?
Well, we still have the remnants of the German Jewish population with the department stores, Hutzler's, Hochschulkön. The German soccer club, the Baltimore Kickers, is still in existence and very active. The German Society, which was formed in the 1700s to protect and support German immigrants, is still in existence. There is an independent citizens union that still supports German causes, and a number of other organizations.
But nothing like it was 100 years ago?
No. You find very few people that still speak German. I'm somewhat of a throwback. I learned German in my teenage years from German immigrants. My father, who could speak German, would never say a word around me. We had more.
Why was that?
He wanted to be American. He was born in 1914. So he grew up speaking German home. But with the outbreak of the war, everybody wanted to disassociate themselves with German and the Germans and be pure Americans. And he just, you don't need to know that. You should teach those people English and not worry about learning German. And I resisted that and became reasonably fluent in conversational German.
Well, I appreciate your talking to us about this history. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
John Furchtbeck. He's an amateur historian and author of the history book German Catholic Parishes of Maryland and Pennsylvania. We've got a link to the book and more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That's where you can also see the front page of Baltimore's most influential German newspaper, Der Deutsche Correspondent, on the day after Archduke Franz Ferdinand was shot. It's courtesy of the Maryland Historical Society's Hilgenberg Archive Project. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning. Must-see movies this summer. Stay with us on 88.1.